What's up, Wisconsin and beyond? It is 3 o'clock. That means it is Maggie and the Millionaires talking money. Boy, do we have a treat for you today. Fresh off of his testimony before the Senate Finance Committee, where basically the tax fight of 2025 has kicked off, we are so pleased to be joined by Bob Lord, who's the senior advisor for tax policy at the Patriotic Millionaires. He's been a tax lawyer for 30 years. He knows all the tricks, and he's helping the Patriotic Millionaires rewrite the tax code. They like to call it cracking the code. He's here to help us crack the code. And of course, Bob, Wisconsin's own Senator Ron Johnson was in the committee hearing today, shilling for corporations and billionaires, as he is wont to do. Welcome, Bob. It's great to have you back.
Thanks, Maggie. Great to be back. Yes, he was there.
Present company accepted. But I have used a phrase, mediocre middle-aged white guys failing up. Feels super appropriate for Senator Ron Johnson to me. Feels super appropriate. But let's actually talk about tax policy today. So before we get into the specifics, set up what it was like. What's it like to testify there? Is it super nerve-wracking? Do you script it all out? Who is basically, like, are there sides? Is there point, counterpoint? How did it work today?
Well, it was nerve-wracking, I guess, until I was maybe halfway through, because it was just something new. I'd seen a bunch of Senate Finance Committee and other committee hearings on television, but I'd never been sitting there at the table as the witness. So, yeah, it was a little nerve-wracking. Fortunately, the other witness for the Democrats had done this like 8 times before, and so he was there for guidance when I needed him. And it was this room has room for probably it's a sort of a semicircle of seats, yeah, for the senators themselves, and probably room for 10 on each side. But you never see that many filled at one time. I think the most seats I saw filled at any one time was 6 in the entire semicircle, maybe a couple Dems and a couple of Republicans. Ron Wyden, the chair, was there pretty much the whole hearing, but the others were kind of floating in and out based on really when they wanted to talk.
It's one of those, I call it the C-SPAN effect. When you watch C-SPAN, if somebody's a political junkie, many of these hearings, you're like, oh, here's this witness testifying before the Senate committee, or here's this person on the floor of the House of Representatives giving this impassioned speech. But it's a little bit of a visual conceit, because sometimes it's not really a full house, which I just find really, really fascinating. But Ron Johnson was there. What did he have to say, Bob? Did he have much to say? Did he ask you any questions?
You know, the only question that I got from a Republican was from Ron Johnson. And, you know, he was basically, you know, let me set this up a little bit for you.
Please.
The other witness on our side was Indervar Dudagupta. He's with the Roosevelt Institute. And he was basically testifying about tax policy and the ultra rich from an economic standpoint. You know, if you raise their rates, what will be the economic effect? Whereas I was getting into the actual nitty gritty of the tax avoidance and how they're doing it.
Right.
The two witnesses on the other side, and I can't recall names, one was from NFIB, National Federation of Independent Business, and one was from the Tax Foundation. And, you know, National Federation of Independent Business, they market themselves as being for small business, but I got to believe that there's some real big business behind it, because what they were fighting for was this so-called pass-through deduction, the qualified business income. And we all know that the benefits have been going largely to the rich. But if you heard the questions that were being asked and you heard their testimony, it was all about small business. And I forget, honestly, whether Ron Johnson was part of that. I'm pretty sure he was. And there were some obvious red herrings, and they need to be called out. And they need to be called out consistently. I heard how they need this tax break in order to pay their employees. Well,
and you're talking about qualified business expense deductions. Is that what you're talking about? Okay. Please continue, Bob.
They need this deduction because they need to pay their employees, among other things. Well, you pay your employees out of pre-tax income. So it doesn't matter what kind of deduction you're getting because you're paying the employees before you're paying tax.
Right.
Then the other one I heard kind of along the same lines is, well, if this flow-through deduction isn't extended, they're going to raise prices. Well, if you're running a business, Maggie, you're raising prices in order to optimize your profit, right? And you're going to optimize your profit the same way you would no matter what the tax rate is, unless it's 100%, you maximize your pre-tax profit, not your post-tax profit. The tax rate just is what it is as far as that goes. So total red herrings. There's no way this qualified business income deduction, the flow-through deduction, impacts their pricing. No way it impacts how they handle their employees. But it was being sold as if it did. But my exchange with Ron Johnson was really interesting. The focus of my exchange was on the buy, borrow, die strategy and what they call the step up in basis at death, where, you know, you're an ultra rich American, you have $500 million of wealth, and $300 million of it is gains on assets that you're still holding when you die that's never been taxed. And he wanted me to verify for him that we need that stepped up basis for these super, super rich people, because it would be double taxation if they didn't get that. It would be because they'd have to pay the estate tax and the income tax.
But it's not.
Of course it's not. They're two completely different taxes.
Yes.
I said, like, it's no more double taxation than if I get income taxes taken out of my paycheck and I go to the store and I pay sales tax. That's not double taxation.
I would argue, Bob, isn't it even like less bad than that? So I had a discussion with someone about this yesterday, right? The dollar that is invested, right? The dollar that you pay to buy the thing, that's what, then the basis for that asset is a dollar. It grows a dollar in value. That new dollar of value growth has never been taxed. So when basis is stepped up to the now $2 value of the asset at death, the dollar has never been taxed. It's a newly created dollar. Or am I getting that wrong?
No. It hasn't been income taxed.
Correct.
But his point is that if someone has estate tax to pay, and they have income tax to pay before they get to the estate tax, that's double taxation. Well, by that rationale, the income that they made when they were, 17 years old working at a fast food store would be double taxed if they wound up dying a rich person and were subject to estate tax. It makes no sense. But what occurred to me afterwards was how cynical it was on his part, because he's a real estate guy.
Yeah.
Maggie, think about what happens with real estate people. They die. They have, say, $100 million worth of real estate. The cost basis is next to nothing because they've been claiming depreciation deductions.
Yes.
They've got $75 million of debt to which that real estate is subject. So their estate is only $25 million. Well, that's what a married couple can pass tax-free. So there's no estate tax. They've taken all these depreciation deductions. $95 million of gain just gets wiped out with this stepped up in basis. And then the kids inherit it. They start taking the depreciation deductions all over again.
So, Bob, I want you to explain that again really slowly, because this is one of the, I did not maintain a poker face when a colleague of mine a couple days ago said to me, well, no. Rich people pay plenty of tax. And I was like, you have no idea what you're talking about. So explain it one more time. They own real estate. they effectively borrow against it and keep going through the tax consequences and the tools that are used to basically avoid taxing, get, paying taxes ever on a lot of this stuff.
Right. Well, and by the way, I should throw in here, there's a companion strategy to buy, borrow, die called swap till you drop.
Yes.
And the way that works is you start out with one piece of real estate and it grows in value, and then you sell it and buy another one. And as long as you buy the second one within 6 months of when you sell the first one, you can make it for tax purposes as something called a tax-free exchange. And you don't have to pay tax on the gain. So you buy a, you know, you start out relatively small, you buy a building for $1 million. And a couple of years later, you sell it for $2 million. Now you have a, now you have more money for a down payment. You buy another building for $5 million. It's a like-kind exchange, so you're not paying any tax. And then, you know, a couple of years later, you're buying one for $25 million. And then by the time you die, you're sitting there with $500 million worth of real estate, and you've never paid any tax, right?
Yep.
So there's all the gain from the appreciation in the real estate, but then there's a second amount of gain. And what that is you're claiming these depreciation deductions, which are kind of fiction. You're taking these deductions because for tax purposes, the real estate is assumed to be decreasing in value. Most of the time, it's
really
increasing.
Which is insane. Hang on, Bob. We got to take care of some. We got to pay some of our bills here. We actually pay our bills here on the Civic Media Radio Network. But we're going to take it back up where Bob was explaining they depreciate real estate. But we all know that's a hallucination. That's total fiction. Doesn't make any damn sense. We're talking about how the rich game the system to not really pay much tax, the tax avoidance strategies of the ultra-wealthy with Bob Lord. We'll be back with more in a moment. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 3 o'clock, so we're talking money, money, money.